It's a topic, one of your favorite topics, I'm sure. We're going to be talking about hell. So I'd like to give you hell. And the purpose is, if we get to know this reality, we'll do all we possibly can to avoid going there, right? There was a great saint, her name is Saint Faustina, that said that she noticed all those people who went to hell were those who denied the existence of hell. So we want to avoid hell, don't we? And we will, with the help of God's grace. See the little picture there, that's from one of the greatest literary masters in the history of the world. His name is Dante, who wrote what's called the Divine Comedy. And he, what Dante does is he's walking from hell to purgatory, from purgatory to heaven. So that picture is someone that's in hell and he's buried in the sand. You know? So let's get to know hell and pray that we would avoid that at all costs. We've already studied and learned some biblical passages on hell from the teaching of Jesus. Remember them? Matthew 20:25. I was hungry, you didn't give me to eat. Thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. Naked, you didn't clothe me. And Jesus says, out of my presence into the hell fire. Whatever you fail to do to my brother or sister, you failed to do to me. You know what I did about 20 minutes ago? I was pulling off the 605 onto Carson Avenue. Then there was a poor guy that was just sitting there near the median, and I rolled down the window and I gave him 4 granola bars. You know? And I said, God bless you. He said, God bless you too. And he ripped that paper open and he was devouring it. Those guys are hungry. What I try to do is I often think that poor guy that's sitting there, homeless guy, it could be me. It could be you too. Why am I not the homeless person? That guy is a homeless person. Because God has been so good to me. Right?
That's right.
So I try to be kind to those people. So they kind of establish a rapport or friendship with them. They often think, that could be me. Or we have a war with Iran and Russia. When if a bomb falls in L.A., we could all be homeless people walking underneath the bridges of L.A., right? I mean, it could happen. I don't want to scare you. But, you know, if a world war breaks up, we could all be walking through the streets without home, without food, without clothing, without family. Right, Angel? I mean, it could happen. Let's pray that it doesn't. Another one, Jesus, is John chapter 16. It's the parable of the rich man Lazarus. You might even jot those passages down next to the number there, okay? Oliver, did you write that in there? Matthew 25 and John 16. Rather, Luke 16. Luke 16, yeah. And it's the rich man that had the poor guy outside his gate. And the poor guy was dying of hunger, and the rich man didn't lift up his hand to give him anything. So they both die? And the rich man ends up in hell, and the poor man ends up in heaven. So why did he go to hell? Not so much for what he did do, but what he failed to do. It's called a sin of omission. And then John chapter 15. John 15 is the vine and the branches. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. The branch that does not bring forth fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's the fire of hell. So we have to produce good fruits, which means virtues, helping people, serving, Okay, let's move on to number two. So, we have learned this from Jesus in many biblical passages, number one. What is hell? It is an eternal place of torment. Write that in there. That's number two. Hell is an eternal place of torment. And even though torment means the word torment?
Yeah. Like
tortured. Tortured, yeah. Okay, number three, what are some of these torments? There are many, and they go, number three, far beyond our imagination. Far beyond our imagination. One of the best modern Catholic novelists, his name is Michael O'Brien, and he wrote a book called The Father's Tale, where this man is searching all over the world to find his lost son. He ends up in Russia, and they believe that this guy's a spy. So they torture him. Can I tell you how? They brought him into a pool, and they threw him in the pool. Can any of you swim?
Yeah.
I was just swimming about an hour ago, no? So I'm a pretty good swimmer, no? They pulled him underneath the water, and they didn't let him up.
He
didn't, though. And what happened was they pulled him up and he was gasping and got some water in his lungs. Then he was unconscious. Then they gave him a very strong shock treatment to wake him up. Then they put him below again, almost drowned him. And they gave him a shock treatment. They did that about five times. How'd you like that? It's kind of scary, right? One thing is you're not being able to breathe. I swam my first mile when I was 12, younger than you guys. And I could swim underneath the water maybe about a minute when I was about 13. I had pretty good lungs. I ran cross country, no? I tell you, if I'm swimming underneath the water for a minute, when my head comes out of the water, man, is that air sweet? Man, is that sweet, that air? I think one of the biggest sufferings in hell would be to be thrown into the pool of sulfur, which is, do you know what a volcano is? What's a volcano? When it explodes, you have what's called lava. Do you know what lava is, any of you guys? What's lava?
Does it supposed to kill you instantly?
Yeah, that's a great question. But in hell, it's going to be such that if you're thrown in it, God still keeps you alive. So you're thrown into, like, imagine you're in a pool. You're thrown into the pool. It's lava. It's probably going to be maybe 5,000 degrees heat. And obviously you would disintegrate. Now we would die right away. But you're thrown into that and you don't disintegrate. Then you're underneath the lava and you can't even breathe. Then when you come out of it finally, you're surrounded by 10 devils that maybe chop you to pieces, chop you to 100 different pieces. And then your body comes back together. Maybe your eyes a little bit out of place, and your nose is distorted, because in hell you got ugliness. No? You know Aristotle's definition of beauty? Proper proportion. Okay? Proportionality. When something is... If my glasses are like this, it's ugly because they're out of proportion. They're not where they should be, right? Like that. So, you're going to see a devil there that has one eye that's like this, another eye is like a watermelon. And you look at it and you think, that's kind of funny, but it's really ugly, right? And then maybe you want someone to console you. You want your mother to say a good word, but everyone there in hell hates you. And the worst thing is, you're never going to get out. So you're there for a trillion years, and you're just starting your stay in hell. I mean, you're probably going to want to sleep with your teddy bear tonight or sleep with your mommy, maybe, I don't know. But I think you should arrive at a point where you're strong enough to understand this very serious truth. Now, if you don't love God yet, I was talking to Confirmation Boyd outside, he didn't want to go. He talked to his mother for 15 minutes. He said, well, you know, if you don't love God, at least if you fear God through this, this will at least get you into purgatory. You know purgatory? We talked about purgatory, right? Because if you're in purgatory, you're saved. Okay, now you might have to spend maybe 500 years in purgatory, no? Maybe not. Maybe less. But purgatory, you're going to get out and you're going to go to heaven. So maybe they don't love God yet. I hope they do. It's hard to tell. I was telling the lady, I can give you a sign. I can give you a sign that you guys do love God. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Okay, you have a day off from school, and you get up and you really just want to talk to God as your best friend. Even 5 minutes. That's a sign that you probably do love God. Then you tell your mom, Mom, I don't have school today. Can you take me to church? If they do that, I believe that they love God.
Yep.
What do you think?
I think so.
I don't think any of you have arrived at that yet. Probably if you go to church, you don't have to. Your parents probably have to force you. A weekday, I'm saying. Probably has to force you, right? At least you're honest, no? But one day, hey, Mom, I don't have to go to school. I wouldn't have any homework. I've got a full day. Take me to 12 o'clock Mass. I don't want to go out with my friends. I want to shoot some hoops. I want to play some sports. That's a sign that they love God. And one day, I think some of you, hopefully all of you, are going to arrive at that. Yes?
Why did you commit sin in heaven?
Okay. Good question. It's a good question. Now, once you're in heaven, you can no longer commit a sin. In heaven, you're with God, the angels and saints, and that's impossible. But in hell, you're going to be... Now, the sin of Satan or Lucifer is fascinating. We're doing that in the exercises. You know, you've heard of Satan or Lucifer. He's in hell. He hates God. He hates the other devils. He hates the damned people. He even hates himself. Because in hell, the essence of hell is hatred. There's no love. So at least one or two classes, we talk about this. And the purpose is this. to keep all of you guys out of hell. So it's reverse psychology. Okay? It's reverse psychology. Yeah, being aware of this, it's like I'm crying out wolf. Okay? So you guys recognize that there's a danger. I could go to hell, Mr. Mac could go to hell, your mom and dad could go to hell, we could all go to hell. You know why? Because we're all free. None of us are robots. God did not create you as a robot. God has given you freedom. And we can either use freedom or we can abuse it. We're called to use it, not to abuse it. Yeah. Do you have a question?
Is it possible to go to heaven when you're in hell?
You mean go down and maybe visit it?
No, like when you're in your hell.
Once you're in heaven, could you maybe descend into hell?
Yeah.
Great questions. No, you can't. And that should give you a lot of peace. Now, once you're in heaven, you're there forever and ever and ever, and you're never gonna leave heaven. Purgatory is the place in between the two extremes, and purgatory is temporary. By temporary, it means you're just going to be there for some time. Now, how long you're going to be there depends on how many, you know, venial sins you had on your soul or mortal sins you didn't make up for. Yes?
How do you know all this?
How do I know all this? About hell? Well, last class we spent probably 30% of the class, and I was just giving you biblical passages. So most of the class last session was taken from the Bible. So the Bible is the Word of God, right? So if it's the Word of God, that means that it's the truth, because Jesus is God and He doesn't tell any, He always tells the truth. Yes?
So if you die with mortal sin, would you automatically...
Go ahead.
So if you die with mortal sin, would you automatically descend into hell?
These are great questions. Mm-hmm. Okay, as soon as you die, Elliot, do you know what happens as soon as you die?
You go to judgment.
What's that like?
It's where your life is put before you in a private showing with only Jesus and St. Michael.
It's actually just you. You're alone with Jesus. And it's like you're going to be seeing the movie of your life. Mm-hmm. Okay, the movie of your life, if you like that depiction. So since when you're born, all the way until you die, you're going to see the movie of your life. And the greatness of God is this. Even if you commit a lot of sins, and I hope you don't, if you're sorry and you go to confession, God will always forgive you. Right? So I'm not saying this just to scare you guys, but a lot of people say, well, no, doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to go to heaven because God is a good guy. Be careful with that. God is not a fool. You know, what you sow is what you're going to reap.
But also assuming that confession is your get-out-of-jail-free ticket is also not the best of ideas.
It's not the best of ideas, confession?
No, not confession, but saying, like, if I commit a mortal sin, it's okay, I can just always go to confession.
Yes. So you're saying you're kind of using it as a means just to commit sin.
Yes.
That's called a sin of presumption. Yeah, you go to confession, you got to try not to go back and do the same sin. At least you got to try. If you fall, God's going to forgive you. But you got to try. Did you have a comment? Yes. Okay, good. What do you think? They're all great questions. Yeah. Okay, well, what do you think? I'd like to see what your response would be, then I'll give mine. He said, what happens if you kill someone? What about that? What's that? Okay. What should you do though? Well, say for example, if you kill someone, then you're going to pay what the law says. You're probably going to have to go to jail, right? And you got to pay the legal consequences. But if you tell, do you think if you tell God you're sorry, God will forgive you? Yes. Yes. Okay. Here's a biblical question. Who was the first person that Jesus canonized? Canonized means who was the first one that Jesus proclaimed that he was in heaven? This is probably going to. I'm responding to your good question. Yeah. You know? Oliver.
Adam and Eve.
Nope.
And who? Saint Peter.
You got it.
He was next to Jesus.
Okay. Okay. Do you know who he was? What do you call him? The good. The good thief.
You got the name.
Yeah, good. You got it. No. Did any of you see the movie of Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ? Can you remember that they're both cursing Jesus at first? Then one of them changed, and he turned to his companion and said, "Look, we're here because we deserve it. But this man has done no evil." Then he turned to Jesus. Remember his words to Jesus? Very moving. Okay, he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did Jesus respond? Beautiful words. Tear jerkers. You know? I'll start it off. Amen, amen, I say to you today. Okay, amen, amen. Okay, he'll be with me in paradise. Do you know what that guy did? He was a murderer. He was a thief and an insurrectionist. Insurrection means that he started wars. So that guy was, he was pretty bad. Right? He was pretty bad, but he told God he was sorry. And he was forgiven and taken right to heaven. Any of you also know who was underneath? When Jesus was dying at the end, there were only three people underneath the cross. Do you know who they were?
Saint Mary, Saint Peter, and Saint John.
No. Okay, Saint Peter ran away. Saint John was there, yes. Who else?
Saint Mary Magdalene.
Yes, and who else?
His mother Mary.
Yes. Mary Magdalene lived a very bad life. She had relations with a lot of men. She was living a very bad life. And she had seven devils within her. Imagine if you woke up and you had seven devils within you. What did you think about that? That would be scary, I think. She had seven devils within her. She lived a very immoral life, and she told God she was sorry. And there she was underneath the cross, faithful to the end. So Jesus had some followers that didn't live very good lives at first. Yes.
Didn't she commit every single mortal sin in the world?
Well, no, I don't think that. But some commentators say that the seven devils represent the seven capital sins.
Seven
deadly sins. Deadly sins. Yeah.
What if I didn't believe in God right before I die? I confess.
You know, that's the idea of the good thief. You could be saved. But you know, listen, don't put off your conversion until the end. No, you know, don't put off your conversion. Today I did a funeral in the morning, and the guy who I buried. I'm 35 years older than the guy that I was burying. The guy who died was in his 20s. So I'm almost three times older than this guy. And I'm thinking, why is this guy dead and I'm not dead? I'm much older than him. But think about that often. Most of the funerals I do today are people that are younger than me. I'm in my mid-60s. I'm not that old, but I'm not that young either, no? let me tell you, listen, if you guys want to go to heaven, I mentioned this before, you just have to do three things, but your whole life. Now you're 13, 14, 15, you got to do three things your whole life. It's not really that much. You have to do something every month, every week, and every day. What did I say? I've told you guys this probably at least two or three times. Let's start with every month.
Every month is confession.
Okay, and try to make a good confession. Okay? Yeah. Let's start every week? And what? What else?
Be present.
Okay, you could be present in Mass just like this, no? No. You want to make sure you receive Holy Communion, okay? Because even a dead corpse can be in Mass, right? Whether you've got statues in the Mass, right? They're there, right? So you want to make sure that you receive Communion, but with a lot of love. And the third thing is, and I think it's hard for you guys, but you can do it on a daily basis. Angel? What? Rosary. You guys can do that. I made a New Year's proposal to pray four rosaries every day, and I've been faithful so far. It's hard at times. Yeah. Because this morning I said one at 5:40, another one at 8:30, another one. When I prayed it, when I was going to Forest Lawn to bury the guy, I prayed four decades driving there and one coming back. Then when I was coming back on the 91 freeway, I prayed another decade. So I've already prayed three and one decade. Tonight at 9, I'll pray another rosary with a priest. Awesome. So if you organize yourself well, you can. So you guys could pray at least one rosary. Just 15 minutes. And pray it sometimes even though you don't feel like it. Do it anyway. So did you hear me? So I told you this is probably the third time I told you. I'll probably remind you again because you guys have basically something, your memory fails you. Is every month a really good confession, every week a good fervent communion, and every day you pray the rosary. If you do that, but the rest of your life, not say, I'm graduated from confirmation, I'm confirmed, all this stuff I learned, I'm going to throw it out the window. No. Try to put it into practice. These are tools we're trying to give you or arms we're giving you to fight the good fight, right? That can be done.
Could they say, if they were going to say the rosary by themselves, could they do like a decade in between class, like on the in between classes, and pick up the next
yeah.
decade?
Yeah. I think it's probably best to do it like in two different parts. If you keep doing like five different times, that's kind of tough. Okay. But say three decades, maybe your mom is driving you to school, and you're only there in the car for maybe 8 to 10 minutes, you could get three decades in. When you're coming back another two decades, you got it. Now, if you do that every day, even though sometimes you don't feel like it, I think that you have the love of God within you. I do. I think the love of God is already moving in your heart. Because you're doing something that's something difficult because you're showing your love for Jesus and Mary. Yes, Oliver.
Another thing that you can do to get to heaven is wear a scapular.
Yes. You guys wear a scapular? Have you heard of a scapular? You've heard of, in Spanish, a escapulario. I gave it to you in your first communion. You guys have never seen this before in your life? You made your first communion here. Some of you guys, do you remember when you made your first communion? I put it on you.
Yeah.
Remember? The kids, after they made their first communion, they all came up in the line, they put it on you, and we're singing a song to Mary. Remember? Where's your scapular?
I don't have it on.
No, I don't have it on. Okay.
Everybody's got to go home and discover where their scapula is.
You know what I said the last class? If you want, if you guys are serious, I could tell my mother to sew one for you and I'd give it to you. This was made by my mother. Feel it. What do you feel in it? What do you feel in it?
It's like a little, like, not a coin, but like something metal.
It's a metal. You guys ever wear a metal? You feel it? It's a miraculous metal. And the other one? Medal of Saint Benedict. So I got the rosary here, scapular, miraculous medal, Medal of Saint Benedict. And this protects you. Yeah. So if you'd want, if you say you're going to wear it, I tell my mother, and it'd probably take a month because she's almost 90 years old. She's not as young as your mother, and she would make it for you. And then she would pray over it and pray that Mary would bless all of you. And my mom's prayers are very powerful, I really believe. You know, maybe it's a saint. I think she's a very holy woman. No? But I give it to you, and then you end up by just, you know, throwing it in your closet. No? Thanks, Mrs. Broom. My mom's name is Mrs. Broom, no? So if they want, no? So if you got, you can, but you have to try to wear it. And it's not a good luck charm. I can wear this and I can start to do bad things. No, it's not a good luck charm. It means that you belong to Mary. You're in Mary's family. Okay? You're in the school of Mary. You're in the heart of Mary. Amen? You wear your scapular? Good. Angel, do you have a scapular? Okay, at least four of us have a scapular, no? You guys don't have, you twins, you don't have a scapular? Did your mom ever give you one?
Yeah.
I know your mom. I think that she probably would insist that you wear this. You guys, you take it off, right? You should wear it. Oh, he's got a scapular. Good. Oh, that's a beautiful one. Yeah. He has a picture. You don't have to have the picture on, but that's very beautiful. Yeah. Then you kiss it in the morning, and the Blessed Mother is going to be watching over you and protecting you. You ever hear the story of St. Alphonsus? He came out to celebrate the Mass, and there was a guy hidden in the back of the church, and they shot him, and the bullet went through his chasuble, that's the white garment, the overgarment, then the alb, then went through his habit, went through his shirt, went through his undershirt, and it was embedded in the scapula right over his heart. It never touched his heart. Cool story, huh? It's like the Blessed Mother was protecting him from being killed. Because, you know, a bullet should have killed the guy. I mean, a bullet goes right through all of your clothes like that, no? So it's the Blessed Mother was holding her hand so the guy, this great saint, would not be killed. There's a booklet that has about 20 miracles, the Garment of Grace. Explains all the many miracles that Mary has performed for those who wear the scapula. Yes?
So if you don't have your scapular on, like, can you wear, like, maybe like a cross, like, around?
You can, but what I would do is maybe actually sew the cross within the scapular, because in this I got the miraculous medal, the medal of bending. But given that, I really believe it's important that you have great devotion to Mary, because we're living in tough times. This is Mary's armor. This is Mary's shield. This is Mary's garment. This is Mary's protection.
Where do we get one?
I mean, you can go and buy one in the store if you want. You could do that. I like this one because, like some of you guys, I'm very athletic. If you do that to your scapula, you're going to rip it apart. Right? So this is like shoestring. Because I play sports like a lot of you guys. You know, I lift weights and I go swimming. I go bowling. I play baseball. No, so I could probably beat you guys in most sports. No, so I'm pretty. What? What's that? Do you guys ever go bowling?
Yes.
The other day I bowled a 242. I got about 8 strikes. No.
And you said running, Father, so you were cross-country.
Well, I ran cross-country. I ran cross-country when I was your age. Father Craig ran cross-country, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's real. Do you guys like sports or no?
Yeah.
I think all of you guys should do some type of sports. Some type of sports. And I'm not saying, you know, video games either. Video game, that doesn't count, no? Some type of sports. Most of the Mexicans like soccer, right? It's a great sport, no? It's a great sport. But I think all of you guys get involved in some type of sport. So after school, you come here once a week. The other day, you know, you practice some type of sport for a couple hours. No? You play sports? What do you play? A rugby, good. Did you guys ever play lacrosse? You ever hear of lacrosse?
Yeah.
Do they play that in California, lacrosse?
Yeah.
On the East Coast, it's really strong. You got the cradle, you got the ball, and you wing it. Huh? Tough sport. It's tough. I remember playing at your age there in New Jersey, and man, it's a tough sport. I mean, you're moving. One of my best friends was playing in the cage. And the guy threw the ball, and it's like a super ball, went right through the cage, right through his helmet, into his eye. And he got a shiner for a month. Because you can throw it fast. Yeah. And my nephews in New Hampshire, they play, they're really good. I mean, they can really wing it, no? So it's good for them to play sports, right?
Yeah.
Will you agree with that?
Yeah. Father, so is there a sign-up sheet to get one of these scapulars from?
Well, I would say you think it through if you want, because you got to be serious, no? I give it to you, then I see you in a month. Where is it? Well, I lost it. You know, it's in my cat ate it. I don't know. You know, it's in the garage, you know? You know, my dad ran over it in his car, you know? Yeah. Thanks. So I'll tell my mom. Mom, one of the confirmation students, the cat ate it. Another one ran over by the car. The other one lost it. And mom is going to say, well, I'll pray for them. Okay. So let's go. Number four, fire. That will torture the soul forever. Number four. Imagine being burnt and magnify this 1,000 times, you have a small idea, okay? Small idea. Number five, despair. Italian poet Dante depicts the entrance of hell with these words upon the entrance. Whoever so enters here shall...
Abandon.
What?
Abandon.
Abandon all hope. You can see it in the little picture there, right? Hatred. All in hell will hate everybody. Number six. Hate everybody else in hell as well as themselves. Number seven. The damned souls will be in company with Lucifer or Satan and all the devils as companions for all eternity. Number eight. No change. No change. There will be no change or possibility to leave this condition. On earth, when we suffer in any way, we hope for healing and relief. In hell, it goes from bad to worse. So write that in. It goes from bad to worse. Not like the Beatles song, it's getting better all the time, no? Okay, loss of God. The worst of all sufferings in hell is the loss of God for all eternity. Which means forever and ever and ever, for all eternity. We were created to love God, and we rejected God's love for all eternity. We will suffer God's wrath and anger and His just judgment. His just judgment. Loss of Mary and the angels and saints. We also will lose the maternal love of Mary and the friendship of the angels, and who else?
Saints.
And the saints. Okay, let's see now. Why do souls end up in eternal damnation and hell? Freedom. All of us are given this very precious gift from God. Write it in there. This is number one, Matt. And it is free will. I might have to erase it. Free will. Which means none of us are robots. We're not spending money in at us. We're not robots. We got free will. What is free will? God allows us to, write it in there, choose between good and bad. God allows us to choose between good and bad. We can choose to sin by our free will. Die in mortal sin. What does it mean to die in mortal sin? It means to die without grace, without God's friendship. Mortal sin in hell. Why does somebody go to hell? They go to hell because they die in mortal sin. So in a later class we'll explain in greater detail what are the components of what we call mortal sin. Okay, condemnation to hell. Then who and why does somebody go to hell? Okay, anybody who dies in the state of mortal sin, totally unrepentant of that sin, has merited the eternal separation from God and the eternal punishment for all eternity. It is never God's fault, but ours. Okay, now, okay, number six is very important, is how we can avoid hell. If you do all these things, none of us are going to go to hell if we can carry out these things. Number one is avoid mortal sin at all costs, yes or no?
Yes.
Confession as often and frequent as possible?
Yes.
Fervent and frequent prayer that gives us the grace to avoid sin?
Yes.
To avoid the near occasion of sin?
Yes.
Fervent and frequent reception of the sacraments? Love of Mary and the daily recitation of the Holy Rosary?
Yes.
You got it. If you guys can do that, you're not going to go to hell. Not that much. Right, Matt?
Right.
We do that. You're all going to, you might go to purgatory, but you're going to make it to heaven. So try to remember those things. You're going to make it. All of you are going to make it. I'm going to pray in the Mass today that all you guys are going to make it to heaven. That's what I'm going to pray in my Mass in about 10 minutes, okay? And God's going to hear my prayers. I want you to go to heaven more than you want to go there, okay? Duration of hell. Okay, how long does hell last?
Forever.
Okay, is eternal. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Oliver, do you know the story of Fatima, the three little children, the vision that they had?
Yes, I do. I forgot their names,
though. Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia. Do you remember what they saw in July? That vision they saw?
Yes, hell.
What was it like?
It was horrifying.
Okay. Can you give an example? What was it like?
I forgot what they saw, but I remember them saying that they almost like died of like horror.
Yeah. Kind of looked like a, do you know?
Sea of fire.
What do they see falling into it?
Souls.
Do they hear anything?
Screaming.
Okay, could they smell something?
Like
sulfur, right? Yeah, they had a vision. These are three little kids from Portugal, 1917. And after that happened, they were good kids, but from that moment on, they lived like saints. And in 2017, Pope Francis canonized them as about the youngest saints in the Catholic Church. They both died when they were about 10 years old. Okay, they were little kids. They died young. And they lived really holy lives, and then they died. They went right to heaven. But it was after the vision of hell. Yes.
So what is, like, one of the, or in your opinion, like, the worst mortal sin you can commit, like, without remorse?
I think one of the worst mortal sins is an attitude of lack of trust in God's mercy. I'll give an example. Because even if I pray and hope that we don't fall into mortal sins, but if we do, as I already said about five times, if you tell God you're sorry or forgiven, then you go to confession. Even though you've done really bad things, no? If you tell God you're sorry, He will always forgive you. Now I'll give you an example of two very different people that they both made big mistakes, but one did one thing, another one did the other one. Can any of you tell me the difference between Peter and Judas Iscariot? So Peter and Judas, what did Peter do at the?
He denied God.
Do you remember what Peter did? Do you remember?
I remember what Judas did.
Don't you remember? Peter denied Jesus, and he said, "Before the cock crows, you all have denied me three times." So three times he denied that he knew Jesus, and then the cock crowed, and then he went out and he wept bitterly, and he told God he was sorry. But what about Judas? Maybe he saw the film of Mel Gibson. What did Judas do? How did he end his life? Do you know? How? So he went off and he got a rope and he hanged himself and his guts poured out. Okay? Okay, so he hanged himself. So, well, your question is this. Peter, he denied Jesus three times. That was serious. But he told Jesus he was sorry and he became a great saint. Whereas Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, right? 30 pieces of silver, and he went off and he gave into despair and he hanged himself.
Because he feared Jesus' life.
He didn't trust that Jesus could forgive him. And as soon as, if he were to say, "Jesus, I'm really sorry I did that," Jesus would have forgiven him just like that. Now, Peter was forgiven. The other apostles, they ran away too. They were forgiven. Mary Magdalene was forgiven. The good thief was forgiven. You know, so it's an attitude of not trusting in God's mercy. So, yes, you may be looking for one really bad sin. Okay, I could, maybe say one really bad sin. But it's the attitude of not trusting that God can forgive you because you feel that your sin is too bad. There's no sin that's so bad that God could not forgive you.
Father, just a warning, it's 6:12.
Okay, good. Very good. So you want to finish? Okay. I caught you by surprise. Okay, let's. So the names are Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. Mm-hmm. Let's finish then. What were the principal reasons for most people going to hell according to Our Lady Fatima? Most souls go to hell due to the sins of the flesh. Write that in there. That is to say, the sins against the virtue of purity. Sins of the flesh. Sins against the virtue of purity. I'll give you an example. A lot of people today, they start to live together without getting married in the church. Okay, that's wrong. They're living in sin. And if they don't repent of that, they could easily lose their soul. They get married in Las Vegas, huh? Or a wedding chapel. It's not good. You get to get married in the church with the priest. What?
What's a wedding chapel?
Well, going to Las Vegas, you got the justice of the peace there dressed in a robe, and they change vows and they sign a paper and they're married civilly. Okay, you got to get married in the church. It's called the wedding chapel. Okay, one more. Saint Faustina. Did Jesus reveal to Saint Faustina the sufferings of those condemned to hell?
Yes.
Yes. The diary in my soul 7:14. It's good for a topic on hell. Let's say Hail Mary that all of us will make it to heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Amen. Do you have to do attendance?
Yes.
Okay, just so, do it quickly then. Okay, good. Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
You sit down, yeah, okay.